Now let us turn to Matthew's Gospel and chapter 23. Matthew 23. We shall just read the concluding few verses from verse 37. Matthew 23, verse 37. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. For I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth till ye shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. This chapter opens with the words in verse 1, Then spake Jesus to the multitude. And then verse 13, narrowing it down slightly, Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! And this was the last time our Lord spoke in public to people. After this, it was in private to his disciples. And then, after that, his voice was silenced on the cross. But notice that the chapter concludes by the final public teaching of our Lord, widened to include the population of Jerusalem. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem. And from these words you can see what they might have had. That he might have gathered them together as a hen gathers her chickens, but they would not. And then the pronunciation of judgment, Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. That's referring to the events of AD 70 when the Roman armies will destroy Jerusalem and the temple. And then verse 39, Ye shall not see me henceforth till ye shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And that's looking right onwards to his second coming, when there will be among the Jews a calling out, and there will be those who will bless his name and receive him and be saved. The calling of the Jews at the just prior to the second coming of our Lord. But for now, there is the terrible tragedy of Jerusalem's rejection of her Messiah. And notice the way that he puts it here. How often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. As the Roman armies, symbolized by the eagle, almost like the eagles gathering to destroy Jerusalem, they could have taken shelter under Christ's wings and have been saved. And you'll see that our Lord puts down their unbelief to them refusing the overtures of mercy. Ye would not. He would, but they would not. And our Lord is tenderly gracious, isn't he? And he is moved when his grace is spurned, and when the tragic consequences come upon an impenitent people. But on the other hand, what mercy, if we turn this around, what mercy it is for us, isn't it? If we can say that we would, and that there is a gathering of us to himself, as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings. And of course that's the great difference, isn't it? That we have been brought out from among others, and this wonderful, effectual calling has made us to differ. The rest would not, but we would. And doesn't it show the grace of God so clearly at that point, that while thousands and millions have no heart for Christ, we have a heart for him? That they refuse to come, and yet we find that we are willing in the day of his power. And this is the grace of God that makes all the difference, isn't it? Where that great change of conversion is perhaps seen the most, really, that we have been brought to him, and having been brought out to know him savingly at our conversion, we long still for gathering mercy and for him to draw us to himself and to know nearer fellowship and communion with him. How often he would gather us, his children, together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings. So let's turn it like that and see it in the positive light as a description of how it applies to the Lord's own people. Jeremiah 31 verse 3, isn't it? I have loved thee with an everlasting love. That's election. Therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. That's the calling. That's the gathering of us to himself. 1 Thessalonians 1 verses 4 and 5. Knowing, brethren beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but in power also, the Holy Ghost, much assurance, brought out by that gospel, gathered into Christ under his wings to be saved by wondrous grace. All the rest would not, but we would, and we will, and we want more and more for this to happen, don't we? The gatherings to himself. Well, let's look first of all then at the gathering. I would have gathered you as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings. It's the willingness of Christ to gather us and draw us to himself repeatedly. How often? See it not so much as a complaint, but as a promise and a willingness on his part. If he's willing to do it with unregenerate people, how much more is he willing to do it for those who are alive to these things and have the grace to respond again and again? I would have gathered you. Perhaps our failure to know him in a deeper, closer, more blessed way is down to ourselves. And he says to us, I would have gathered you. We could know more, could have known more than we do at present. It's one great thing about the Lord that he does gather his people to himself. You remember the promise in Genesis 49 verse 10 that he who is called Shiloh, when he comes, unto him shall the gathering of the people be. He is characterized as being one who has a people that he gathers to himself. In John 11 verse 52, much nearer the fulfillment of the prophecy, we read that also he should gather together in one the children of God that were scattered abroad. Do you see that he calls to us? And he would draw us, and he would gather us under his wings. Not just something that happened at conversion for us and did not happen for the lost. It's something that would go on again and again and again. Isn't it a beautiful picture? As a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings. Now, this is the only place in the Bible where the hen is mentioned. And it is in connection with something that was very familiar and is familiar to us all, isn't it? There is a touching relationship between a mother hen and her chicks. So much so that she is devoted to them to the extent that she's willing to die for them. You may well have heard the story. It's often told and it gets repeated again and again, but it bears telling once more because it illustrates it. There was a prairie fire in the United States of America, and after the fire had devoured all the corn and crops, and there was nothing but charred debris left, the farmer and his friend were walking along looking at the scene of devastation. And as they were walking along, they came upon a charred lump of something on the ground. And the farmer just knocked the lump aside with his foot, and it rolled aside, and out from under it ran several chicks. And that charred lump was the mother hen that had stayed put on top of them to protect them from the fire. And she lost her life in saving theirs. Of course, it's a wonderful picture, isn't it, of what our blessed Lord did in covering us from the wrath of God and bearing it in our place that we might go free. But you see, it's the devotion, isn't it, of the mother hen to the chicks. She will have them under her wings, and she will keep them in protecting love, no matter what happens to her. If you know the Pilgrim's Progress, you'll know that in the second part, there's that delightful scene where the interpreter has Christiana and her children, Christiana, Mercy, and the children, into his significant rooms, and one of them, he had them into a room where was a hen and chickens, and bid them observe a while. They gave heed, and perceived that the hen did walk in a fourfold method towards her chickens. One, she had a common call, and that she hath all day long. Two, she had a special call, and that she had but sometimes. Three, she had a brooding note, and four, she had an outcry. And the interpreter said, "Now, compare this hen to your king, and these chickens to his obedient ones. For answerable to her, himself has his methods which he walks in towards his people. By his common call, he gives nothing. By his special call, he always has something to give. He has also a brooding voice for them that are under his wing, and he has an outcry to give the alarm when he sees the enemy come." And you see how scriptural that is. The mother hen has a general call, and everybody hears it, but nothing is actually given in that common call. And of course, that's like the common call that Christ made to Israel, wasn't it, and to Jerusalem. And they would not. It was an external call that was not accompanied by the internal irresistible grace. And so, sadly, nothing was given or received by that. But the Lord has a special call, and he always gives something. And that special call we have heard, and grace has gone with that call. The Spirit has come with the preaching of the gospel, or the entrance of the word, and the heart has been changed. The Spirit has been renewed. Our will has been so renewed and changed so that we are willing in the day of his power, and we come and we gather under his wings. That's the special call. Always given. Always something given with that. And then it says, thirdly, he has a broody voice for them that are under his wing. And that refers to those wonderful words of love that the Lord Jesus says to us as he gathers us together under his wings. Words of love and tenderness. And then the outcry when the hawk is circling around and she gives that alarm call, and the chicks all come to her under her wings for protection. And this is the kind of picture that we have here. The gathering of the Lord's people to himself. Let's look secondly at the frequency then. How often would I gather thy children together? As a hen gathereth her chickens. What is this actually in experience? Well, there are numerous times when he especially calls to us and would gather us under his wings. What about times of danger, dear friends? As we've seen, you only need a hawk to be encircling round, or some threatening presence, and the outcry, the alarm call of the mother hen, and the chicks come running. And dear friends, we're thankful that that is so, aren't we? Because the devil, you see, comes near. And the Lord Jesus knows that we are threatened by that evil one, the enemy of our souls. John 17, verse 12. Those that thou gavest me, he prays to his Father, I have kept, and none of them is lost. See, he keeps us. And dear friends, when we are tempted, there's only one place to go that will be our safety. Christ calls us under his wings, and we are safe there. Run to Christ in times of temptation. He calls, he gathers. He would draw us under his pinions and into the place of refuge and safety. Temptation, whereby the devil would draw us to himself or to some forbidden thing, is a time when we should run the other way to Christ. And that's the way we resist the devil, and he flees from us. When temptation sends us under the wings of Jesus, and in such times, we will say, Lord, I would be gathered, and run to him who will keep us safe from sinning. But there are those more subtle times, aren't there? When the devil is near and is working, and yet we don't recognize it. Those times when we feel accused. Those nagging thoughts that afflict the conscience and make us feel guilty. Now, if we have a tender conscience to what is right, we will have a sensitive conscience to the devil trying to make us feel that we've been wrong and we've done wrong. And do you experience those times when you feel under a cloud, under a heaviness, and you feel that you're being got at, and there's a nagging, accusing voice reminding you of sins and failures, bringing home to you your unworthiness, suggesting that you've done this and that and the other wrong, or saying that people are thinking ill of you, or something like that. You see, that's the accuser of the brethren who's doing that. If we've examined ourselves and we can't actually find any real substance in these things, then you should realize that it's coming from outside of you, from a malicious, lying enemy, the enemy of your soul. And look, he says he would gather you as a chicken, as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. And in those times we will say, Lord, I will. I would be gathered. How about John Newton's hymn? Be thou my shield and hiding place, that sheltered near thy side, I may my fierce accuser face, and tell him thou hast died. That's the safety. What about doubts and fears, worries, forebodings? If all these things that the devil sends to you and presses upon your spirit, if all these things send you to Christ and cause you to be gathered under his wings, he'll quickly leave you alone. Because the last thing he wants to do is to send you to the Saviour. And that's why, you see, when these things do send us to him, we find the problem disappears. We find the devil leaves us. So in times of danger, there is that alarm call. He would gather us under his wings. And we must say, Lord, I would be gathered. I'm coming. I will draw near. Receive me graciously and hide me under the shadow of thy wings. The only place to go, dear friends, when the devil is near. What about times of trial? What a mercy it is that at the same time that he afflicts us, he also covers us. And nothing can touch us that does not first go through his protecting wings to screen and to filter the effects. We're safe. And what has come and what has happened has been conditioned by his protection. It's not the full force of anything. We're not left to the mercy of events. The Lord has gathered us under his wings and kept us from the worst of it, the brunt of it. What's left to us is as much as is wise to do us good. But the blessing of being under his wings when things come upon us, it's especially at those times when we feel very, very oppressed, very upset, very dismayed, that we say, Lord, gather me under thy wings. I would come. I would have it so. I've got a will and a heart and a longing for it. And how blessed we are to endure our trials and afflictions under the protection of his covering. And it all is worked together for good, isn't it? And what about times of uncertainty and need? Aren't those beautiful words in Ruth chapter 2 and verse 12? Ruth the Moabitess come home with Naomi, but not to her home. She's come to a new country and a people she's never known. And she's left everything behind, and she's thrown in a lot with a poor widow woman, Naomi. And they too trudge to Israel and arrive in Bethlehem. And what an uncertain future. This widow herself, this young widow Ruth, what is in store for her? Where's she going to earn money? How are they going to live? Will she ever marry again? Will she find rest in the house of her husband? Has she a real viable future? What about all these things? It could not be more uncertain, could it? And tenuous. Sometimes we're like that, aren't we? We just don't know what is up ahead and how we're going to make out what the future holds, or rather what the Lord holds for us in the future, how it will be. But look, Ruth 2 verse 12. She meets Boaz in God's providence. And Boaz becomes the mouthpiece of the Lord, and he says these words: "The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust." And she couldn't be safer under the wings of Jehovah. She's there knowing his personal protection and his providence to cover everything. And the rest of the book of Ruth shows how wonderfully the Lord wrought for her, didn't he? Bringing her to the field of Boaz, meeting Boaz, the gleaning, and then Boaz marrying her, and the resultant son being the father of Jesse, the father of David, the messianic line, and all this kind of thing. And all the uncertainty, doubts and fears about the future, all perfectly, perfectly ordered and wonderfully, wonderfully planned and prepared for. Under whose wings thou art come to trust. That's where you are. Under his wings. Come to trust him. And he would gather you. And he would comfort you. And assure you and promise you that all is well. Under his personal protection. In times of uncertainty and need, you see how often, the frequency, we need to go to him, don't we? And find our rest and our peace there. What about times of weakness and fear? We feel that things are too much for us. We're not sufficient. We're not equal to what's required. We're so inadequate. We're frail and trembling. We feel totally unfit for things. How can we cope? Ah, what a word this is, isn't it? Psalm 91 verse 4. Beautiful words these. I don't know about you, but Psalm 91 is almost my favourite psalm of all of them. And what words are these? Verse 4 of Psalm 91. "He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust." That's a promise, isn't it? Gathering us under his wings, as a hen gathereth her chickens. Do you see yourself there? "Covered with his feathers, under his wings shalt thou trust." You couldn't feel safer, couldn't be more strengthened and encouraged. The wonderful thing about it is, you see, that the Lord has so made a hen, as we know, that there are two kinds of feathers, aren't there, that minister great security to chicks. There are the strong waterproof outer feathers, the wing feathers, and as the mother bird brings her great wings over the chicks, they're protected, and the strong wing feathers are like a roof over them. But then you see those wings pull the chicks near the sides of the hen. And they're the soft breast feathers, the soft downy breast feathers. And so the chicks are squeezed against these soft feathers, and they're warmed and they're comforted. And so they must feel, if they had little minds and brains that could operate, they must feel how safe I am and how warm and comfortable I am. It's blessed, isn't it? And this is the picture, you see. "He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust." It's a lovely thing to see yourself as in that place of protection and comfort, of power and love. combined. And the Lord, He would gather us as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings. Oh, what these people were missing out on. Oh, the stupidity and madness of unbelief and rejection of the gospel, isn't it? That people forfeit the blessing that could be theirs. And then, again, the frequency. What about when the world encroaches upon us? And how often it does, doesn't it? Worldly thoughts, worldly desires and affections. The mind and heart too much set upon earthly objects, perhaps. Even to the danger of mental idolatry. And we're distracted and absorbed too much by these things. Not the godly moderation that there should be. What's the cure? How often I would gather, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings. The ultimate cure is to go to Jesus. You know, there is deep truth in that little chorus, isn't there? Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. And the more of Christ, the more other things will take their proper place, subordinate to Him. But gathered, you see, under His wings, safe, close to Him, near His side. Those words of Bernard of Clairvaux, I think, from the best bliss that earth imparts, we turn again, we turn unfilled to Thee again. And then again, frequency, you see, how often? Well, what about in times of assembly? How often would I have gathered Thy children together? And that word gathered has the word for synagogue in it, in the Greek. And it means an assembly. And the word appears, or a form of it, in James chapter 2, verse 2, if there should come into your assembly a rich man. And it's the word that can be translated synagogue, assembly for worship. And you see, there is a truth, isn't there, that the Lord gathers His children together for the assembly in times of worship, as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings. The Lord calls us to Himself like this. The hen, you see, is a gregarious bird, loves to be social, a flocking instinct, and loves to have her chicks all together with her. And our blessed Lord gathers his people together under His wings, the wings of His glorious presence, as we worship and hear His word, and He manifests Himself to us. I had a lovely little example of this this past weekend. I trust you'll forgive the personal allusion, but on Friday evening at Wattisham, I happened to be preaching on the text, "He is altogether lovely," from the Song of Solomon. And afterwards, someone said to me, it had to be a young woman, didn't it, because they often speak in these ways, but she said, "You know, I prayed before coming here that the Lord would come with me, and that the Lord would put His arms around me, and He has." And that's a lovely thing to be able to say, isn't it? It's being gathered, you see. And it's being brought under the wings and drawn near in love and security. And could there be really a better result from the preaching of the word? Should be all kinds of fruit, shouldn't there? But maybe that's the best and the central thing, isn't it? That Jesus has been there. That Jesus has manifested himself and gathered us and loved us, having spoken to us in the Word. Gathered together. If we have not met Christ as a result of our gatherings, we surely have met in vain, haven't we? Even if we've had a good time in fellowship, even if we've learned something new from the Bible, even if we've had a doctrine clarified for us, even if we've had a duty shown to us, yes, all these things, but it's his presence that makes the feast. And you see, it's a gathering under his wings. Oh, that it might be so every time we meet. It's not automatic, is it? I'm sure perhaps shouldn't go together, should it? It's not I'm sure perhaps. Better say perhaps. But do we miss out so much because we don't come prayerfully prepared enough? And we imagine that the blessing will be automatic, that Jesus will enter with us, he will meet with us here, and he will gather us and put his wings down over us and draw us close to him. Well, we have not because we ask not, perhaps. We need to pray, don't we, that we shall meet the Lord and that it'll be one of his gathering times. And then finally, let's take it right to the end. There's going to be a final gathering together of his children as chickens under his wings. You've only got to turn the page. Matthew 24, verse 31. When our Lord shall come the second time without sin unto salvation, he shall send his angels with a great trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heaven to the other. The angels are going to come and assemble the Lord's people from out of the world and gather them together surely unto Christ. And we shall meet the Lord and we shall be assembled before him. But my, it's going to be a gathering of his people as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings. And the Lord Jesus will shield us, won't he, from the condemnation on that day, because he has borne it for us. And he shall confess us to the Father. And the righteousness that we wear imputed to us will shine so brightly on that day for our justification and now our glorification. Gathered under his wings. What a glorious prospect in view. You get the idea that the Lord has kept count here, don't you? How often would I have gathered thy children together? I wonder how many times the Lord preached in Jerusalem, in the precincts of the temple, in the streets and marketplaces of that holy city. How often, and how often they would not. He keeps a count, keeps a record. But it is true for us, isn't it? How often? As often as we wish, as often as we need, as often as we would. The Lord is always calling to us, isn't he? Always drawing us. Always with loving kindness, bringing us, his voice, the working of his Spirit, the motions of his Word in us, always. And so let us respond. It's a blessed thing to read these words and say, Lord, I thank thee that I'm not among those who would not. By thy grace I am among those who would, and I would. O Lord, gather me. Draw me and I will run after thee. Draw me and have me in that place under thy wings. In times of danger, in times of trial, times of uncertainty and need, times of weakness and fear, when the world encroaches, every time of assembly, and oh, at the end, gather me, and gather me finally to glory. Well, may the Lord then bless, make the gathering so frequent, until that final one, and we are in heaven, to see him as he is. Let us sing together as we come.
Thou hidden source of calm repose, thou all-sufficient love divine, my help and refuge from my foes, secure I am if thou art mine. And lo, from sin and grief and shame, I hide me, Jesus, in thy name. 6:1-3. Thou hidden source of God repose, thou all sufficient love divine, my help and refuge from my foes, secure I am if thou art mine. And though from sin and grief and shame, I hide me, Jesus, in thy name. Thy mighty name salvation is, and keeps my happy soul above. Comfort it brings, and power and peace, and joy and everlasting love, to be with thy dear name.
My help and strength.